You're listening to Thriving Church Leadership, a church board development podcast. A dialogue to encourage church leaders to rise to the noble task of church leadership. Through a series of conversations with godly, experienced, and insightful individuals, we've dived deep into this very unique space of leadership, specifically formal church leadership, such as pastors, elders, deacons, trustees, and board leadership as a whole within the church. I'm Brad Elder, and your co-host for today's episode.
And I'm Brian Walker, the other co-host, president of the Grace Gospel Fellowship, and it's really a pleasure to be here with you today, Brett.
Excellent. I know we got to meet this guest last episode, but for those who weren't listening to last episode or have not had that opportunity, can you just introduce our guest today? Because this topic that we're talking about, I am convinced, is a topic that every church leader, it's on their heart and mind, and that's sort of the lack of health within the church, and how do we overcome some of the tyranny, the urgent, and the inordinate amount of time we spend on unhealth within the church. So if you could just introduce our guest, I'd love to hear more about him.
Yeah, it's really a pleasure. Dr. Scott Paskowitz joined us in a prior podcast, and we one of the things that is just a neat honor for me is to meet our men and women around the country who attend our churches affiliated with the Grace Gospel Fellowship. And a friend, I count Scott as a friend, is joining us today. He joined us in a prior podcast. And Scott, it's really good to have you. Thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, good to be back. Thanks for having me back.
So we're going to be talking about some a really key topic. And maybe, Scott, would you give us just a quick brief intro of yourself so we can how we're going to bring it into the topic of discussion?
Yeah, so I'm a physical therapist by trade, and basically as a physical therapist, I diagnose and treat musculoskeletal dysfunction, and that's been my career for the last 26 years, and I've kind of taken that into the mindset of the church and evaluating organizations and parachurch organizations, and I kind of think like a physical therapist when I look at an organization.
Mm-hmm. As we were teasing out your background, we found some very interesting similarities between what you have done, maybe perhaps still do to some extent, in physical therapy, and the way that we can address what every church experiences, and that is sort of lack of health. And so I really want to play off of sort of where the common points are of your experiences, both within the church and within physical therapy. They seem like two very disparate places, but you really brought together a very interesting metaphor, and I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, so, you know, when I have a new patient that comes in, you know, there's this intake, there's this interview process. You're figuring out, you're trying to find the relevant data for you to help this patient along. So, you know, I'll do an interview, I'll do an evaluation, a physical evaluation. And then from that, you develop your problem list. You prioritize, you know, what's actually causing the problem, right? I mean, you can have low back pain, but the hangnail on your pinky toe isn't contributing to it, right? You have to prioritize. Mm-hmm. And then you just set some goals. You say, okay, here's what we're going to do, and here's kind of the goals we have in this amount of time. This is the things we want to see happen. And then you set a plan in place. You put things in place to make that happen and move the ball down the field. So, you know, like with a back pain patient, you know, we'll set a goal of that they'll be able to lift 20 pounds pain-free. Well, then you have to put a plan in place and some treatment in place in order to make that happen. And in a church, when I come into a dysfunctional church, you know, I just need to talk and really understand what's going on in the church, what happened in the past, where the elders, where the pastor's at, just how they're feeling, like what they're going through emotionally, spiritually, that sort of thing. And then you just evaluate, and then you kind of come up with your problem list and prioritize, and then set some goals and put the plan in place. And, you know, and you do this in conjunction, not by yourself. You're doing this with the team that's in front of you. And then you just have to follow through on things. And that's, it's really similar to physical therapy in kind of church consulting.
Yeah, who knew? I had no idea there was such a correlation, but it actually makes a ton of sense. And as you have helped churches along. Can you just maybe, of all those steps that you just kind of rattled off, where do you find the most difficulty, or where do you think, you know, that step is has been skipped and we're not making any progress because of it? Are there correlations even in the physical therapy world for that?
Yeah, I think it's really just listening and really hearing. You know, a lot of times, you know, you take into a patient like a notion of what you think should be. And then sometimes you can put what you think on that patient's condition. So you just really need to listen. And that's what I find with these boards. I mean, you really have to listen and understand where they're coming from, where they're at, where they've been, and really get this complete picture. And I think a lot of times, you know, kind of cookie cutter, you come in and you say, okay, well, it's low back pain, so we're just going to do X, Y, and Z, and not really listen. It's the same thing with churches. And that's probably a step that is skipped. And you really have to understand first before you can act.
Mm-hmm. That's a great insight.
So, Scott, as we think of churches that are going through crisis, and we think of it, it's a complex process, and how to maybe make it maybe a more understandable. With your experience in the medical field, can you give us a sense of how somebody could approach it and maybe proceed through a crisis in regard to from a therapeutic side versus a surgical side, knowing that both are probably important interventions?
Yeah, I think the important thing is recognizing when, you know, surgery can help and when, you know, therapy can help. And, you know, one of the definitions of crisis is the turning point of a disease when an important change takes place, indicating either recovery or death. Now, I'm going to use the analogy of a knee replacement. Now, not that, you know, if you don't get a knee replacement, you're going to die, but the point can be made. Mm-hmm. When you have bone-on-bone knee arthritis, okay, and you need a knee replacement, you can either choose to go through, you know, the surgery in 12 weeks of a fairly painful recovery, but knowing that after 12 weeks, you're going to be pretty good for the next 20, 25 years with that knee. Or you cannot get the knee replacement and really just limp around in pain for the next 20 to 25 years. And it's kind of like that in churches. You know, we recognize that there's a disease process right now, whether that's a program that needs to be removed, that's, you know, pretty much dying and bringing things down with it because it takes away human resources and other energy, or you have a sin issue in the church, whether it's the pastor, an elder, a congregational member, and some tough decisions need to be made where you need to make that decision and remove the cancer or the program or whatever it is. And it's going to cause some short-term pain, and there might be some damage and collateral damage. But if you let that thing stay, whatever that thing is, then it just drags on sometimes for years, and it just brings down, it's like a slower death. So that's kind of the analogy I make with in healthcare with kind of churches.
That's profound. Yeah. Brian, I got a question for you. Yeah. As you travel around the country to various churches, large and small, a lot of them small, mm-hmm. smaller, mm-hmm. what are the knee replacement arthritic corollaries in a mm-hmm. church environment? I know Scott named a couple of, you know, programs maybe that need to be excised, but I'm just wondering from your experience, are there some common threads or preponderance of problems that just usurp a whole bunch of time?
Yeah. You know, that's while it seems as if almost every church is going through some type of a difficulty or challenge, there are, I think probably to your point, and maybe using the analogy that, that Scott brings up, there are problems or concerns that could really be solved by just good therapy. Let's work this out. Let's understand, like Scott said, let's set some goals. Let's work this out and get this better. And then there are some churches that have really a disease in it, and it might be a sin issue in the church, or it could be a program. My heart and passion is in board work, church board work. And I think I can safely say with a relatively easy confidence that a lot of the churches that are experiencing problems, it's coming out of the boardroom. It starts there. I think if you could do a forensic study of the problems that churches face, it has probably started somewhere in that boardroom. And it might have been 30 years ago that it started there, or 5 years ago, or it might be a problem that's taking place in their human resources. They're not managing the pastor well, if that can be an example. And so the pastor doesn't have any kind of feedback on their productivity and their work they're doing. And so there's more and more I'm finding, and boards really acknowledge this, that the problems that a church faces often is either allowed by the boardroom or started in the boardroom.
So not to carry the metaphor, since I'm not a doctor, unlike you two, I don't love being the dumbest person in the room. But to take that metaphor, you're basically talking about preventive medicine. Mm. Like a board's role isn't to react to, it's to create an environment of health. Mm. Is that fair?
Yeah. That's a good tease out. Hey, Scott, when you think of preventative health, I think of organizational health. And a lot of that comes through strategic planning. And while that word, those two words kind of get tossed around in boardrooms pretty loosely, I find strategic planning for a board, sitting down and really being ready to operate at the horizon level, not at the, I think, Brett, you call it tyranny of the urgent. Is there any way, when you think, Scott, about even like preventative health for a person? There are maybe some problems you can't avoid, and genetically maybe, but do you see an analogy of preventative health, or I'm sorry, a connection between preventative health in a human body or strategic planning being part of the organizational health?
Oh, 100%. And even the Bible talks about the church being a body, right? So yeah, 100%. I mean, an ounce of prevention is equal to a pound of cure. Mm. And I think it's the same thing in the boardroom and with pastors. If you're setting plans in place and policies and procedures and trying to, just see ahead and set a plan in place and try to implement, but also too, doing regular checkups. I mean, the GGF has developed that board rubric that can, really nicely evaluates the health of a board, but not just evaluates the health of the board, but also in it is built in plans and steps in place to improve on that health. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, 100%. I mean, I think every board needs to go through a board checkup and then just see where they need to improve and really bring in someone from the outside, because it's very hard to evaluate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say that lack of health doesn't happen overnight in most situations?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a lot of times it's, dysfunction over time leads to disease. Mm. and that's the same thing with churches. I think we'll see. I mean, sometimes there's external things that will happen that are outside of your control, where you have an outside group that really just comes after the church, and it's a satanic attack type of thing and you could be the healthiest. And a lot of times that these healthy organizations, Satan attacks because they're so healthy, he wants to thwart the will of God. Yeah. And those are things that are outside of your control. Some of those things there can be policies and procedures in place that you can rest on that could prevent it. But some things are out of your control. I remember when I was serving on the board of directors of the Timothy L. Children's Ranch, we had bought a Girl Scout camp up in the Berkshire Mountains in Massachusetts to make it a Christian camp and a place where our boys could go and do some retreat work and things like that. And there was a neighbor who was actually a not in my backyard type of lawyer, actually, pulled that card on us and really just was vicious and racist and different things. And we had to sue in order to exist. And that was something you can't plan for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Understood.
Yeah. This idea is a really interesting idea. When we, and I'm going to keep using health as an analogy, because I think it works well.
Now that you have this doctorate degree, you might as well gravitate there. I can tell.
this idea of when we see a person living in an unhealthy lifestyle, those of us who care, those of us who know, watching that person live that unhealthy lifestyle physically, you can watch it happen. You can watch their health begin to deteriorate eventually. And whatever that is, that you, there are indicators of that person's decision process. And I think the same thing goes in a church setting. When a church decides not to follow a biblical model of church leadership and a biblical model of church health, and they begin to be driven by numerical counts or different metric systems that maybe aren't a biblical count or a biblical measure, a biblical model, you can see what's going to happen in that church. And, you know, so I think the hard thing, and maybe again using the same example, that person who's practicing an unhealthy lifestyle will only find a healthy solution or intervention if they decide to do it. Their parents, their family, their loved ones can't get them to do it if they're not into it. And I think the same thing goes for a church. We see churches practice a cycle of unhealth until they want to change, until they want to find. And you know, we've seen churches in the last decade fall and collapse before they had a chance to change, which is a really a tragic observation to see. When you see therapy, Scott, and you're working with someone post-surgery, when you're working toward the physical therapy side of things, I'm going to ask a really easy question. Can you do therapy if the person's not interested in participating in therapy?
Hmm. Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's so frustrating. I'm working with a post-surgical patient right now, and she's about 8 weeks post-op. She's not where she should be. And she should be in 3 times a week, and she's been in less than 1 time a week. And she just says, "Oh, I'm doing my exercise at home." And it's like, well, no, you need it. It's just more than an exercise program. And it's so frustrating. But you know, you can't lead a horse to water and make him drink. It's just, you know, just, it's frustrating. And it happens in churches as well, where you see it and it's like, come on guys, you got, you know, here's the solution. It's just like, they don't move.
So a couple issues. Maybe you're not recognizing the problem, not admitting to the problem. But even if you admit to the problem, you may still not want to address the problem. Do you find that as well?
Yeah. I mean, people were selfish, were lazy at times. And, you know, it's just easier to put our head in the sand a lot of times, or we think it is, and just ignore the problem and someone else will do it. I don't know. I don't know what's behind, you know, motivation of people who don't act. Yeah.
Well, and I just turn in that corner to church health. I guess I'm old enough to experience, you can almost watch the degradation of a process or a thing or a program because you haven't addressed an issue. I wonder for our listeners, Brian, Scott, what's the message when we're talking about this issue, and maybe this metaphor, what's the message to both church leadership that is healthy, relatively healthy, and what's the message to church board leadership that is relatively unhealthy when it comes to being proactive?
So I'll speak to a bit of that. Scott used a euphemism. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And I've always thought that was an interesting thing, and it is absolutely true. But I heard somebody say something one time as a tag on to that euphemism. They said, "You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. But you can make it thirsty." And that goes, that speaks to responsibility. And I feel like there is a responsibility to healthy people, healthy ministries, healthy churches. There's a responsibility to help an organization or a person see that they're not healthy and to see what healthy looks like. And I'll talk maybe on the church side. One of the things we do in our ministry is we talk with churches is we give them a Scott referenced this rubric, this, hey, this is what it looks like, but this is what it could look like if you're healthy. And invest into our churches, invest into our ministries to help them see what healthy is. There is a responsibility. I think there is, I hate to say ignorance because that sounds negative, but there's a lack of understanding of what healthy can look like. And suddenly unhealthy feels normal. That's what do you think of that, Scott?
Yeah, 100% agree with everything. What I'd like to add is that what's probably one of the most frustrating things with in working with a board that is unhealthy is a board that thinks they're healthy, but is actually not healthy. And those are the hardest ones to break through because, yeah, they're comfortable. They think they're doing the right thing, but they're really not, and they're really unhealthy, but they just don't see it. And those are the hardest ones to work with.
So what would put blinders on a board to not be able to see that?
Mm.
Any guesses?
Yeah, I just habit. That's a blinder. We've done it this way, so we'll do it this way. I see it frequently, and even church boards know it. They know it. We've done it this way, we'll do it this way. That is a blinder I've seen over and over.
Hmm. And one thing I see in unhealthy boards is just there's not a lot of eldering going on. There's a lot of deaconing and a lot of trusteeing, but not a lot of biblical elderling, even though they call themselves elders.
Yeah, so just for our listeners, attach tasks to those. Like, what does it mean to not be eldering, but to be deaconing and trusteeing? Great terms, by the way.
Yeah. Real biblical.
Yeah. Verbs.
Yeah. So I think, and Brian, you can chime in on this too, but, yeah, I think prayer, you know, what's the prayer life of the board individually and corporately? What does that look like? Are the board members actively teaching and preaching, praying over the sick, the things that are listed out, in the Bible, what elders should do. Deacons are more, more programs, like kind of managing programs and the church buildings, and the trustee is more like the finances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I note from a prior episode, we were talking about perhaps the inverted board agenda really speaks to maybe spending more time deaconing and eldering or deaconing and trusting rather than eldering. And that to say that even just the issue of prayer, the number of times I've gone into a great board members, right? Nobody intends to do this, but the tyranny of the urgent is crammed into the agenda. You cram what should be a 1 hour meeting into 2 hours, and you're quick like, hey, Brian, can you just quick pray us out? I know we're over here, but we'd love to spend at least 22 seconds in prayer sort of bless this chaos that we just went through. Mm-hmm. And in reality, perhaps it needs to be an inverted process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I think that is probably the other blinder is just the busyness of church ministry. It's so busy, and there's so many things going on, even in small churches. And it's easy to get caught up in that busyness and not to, like Scott said, be praying for your congregation, be praying for your, by name, be praying for your community that you serve in, and be praying for the folks that you care for. And there's just a key blinder at the church board level is just the plain busyness of I think what Scott's calling the deaconing of a church. The, you know, when you think of the elder or the disciples in the New Testament church saying, you know, why are we waiting tables? I think church boards spend a lot of time waiting tables, and that's a easy blinder for a church to find themselves in that leads to unhealthy living.
Mm. Understood. So as we wrap up our time, which always seems to be short, I'm just curious, Scott, Brian, what insights, and I'm thinking particularly maybe those who are, let's start with those less healthy right now. Maybe they're in crisis. Maybe they're not yet in crisis, but they're all consumed by perhaps the wrong things. What's a practical next step to take to move toward health?
What do you think, Scott?
I might be biased, but that rubric that we developed back at the headquarters of GGF in Grand Rapids there, just to understand, to evaluate, to where you're at, you have to understand where you're at in order to act, and I think that's the first step, no matter where you're at. If you're in absolute crisis, if you're a little bit dysfunction, even if you're very healthy, take the evaluation, just evaluate, and then you can go from there.
Yeah, that rubric is, you know, there's I've had a chance to demonstrate that rubric to about 25 of our church boards around the country, and it goes through about 50 line items and talks everything from how are we taking care of our pastor and how are we praying for our congregation and does our congregation trust the things we say as a board, and being a rubric, it helps us see where we're at and where we want to go and what are the steps to go where we want to go. So it's just a really helpful tool to help a board that is maybe feeling that that pressure of unhealth or, like Scott said, that dysfunction, to say, you know, let's identify the issue, let's be honest about it, and let's look at ways we can make a plan to go forward.
So how do I get my hands on this rubric?
You know, all you need to do is just email me at Brian@ggfusa.org, Brian@ggfusa.org.
If I do that within the next 5 minutes, do I get
Ginsu knife?
Ginsu knives?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And appreciate that. And maybe your advice is the same, but there are boards that today are relatively healthy, if you put them on a spectrum or continuum. What's your word of advice or even caution to the relatively healthy boards today?
Yeah, well, I mean, once you think you have it all together, things seem to go wrong, right? So just, you know, always in prayer, always be humble, because we're never going to arrive. But if you're fairly healthy and the church is, you know, growing and people are coming to the Lord, I would still just, you know, be, you know, a regular evaluation of yourself. Just like you go to, you know, you go for these well visits, right? And you get a checkup from your doc. They take your blood pressure. They do an EKG, even though you feel great, right? So, you know, this rubric, it's not just for churches that are struggling. It's for healthy churches, because that's where it gets exciting, because now you can really, really work on some high level things and really just take it to the next level.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. That's a good one.
Scott, really appreciate your insights yet again. Mm. Appreciate the metaphor. Yeah. It just adds a little depth to the discussion and mm-hmm. some realities as we, all of us, try to become better at leading the church into better places of health.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Again, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being on with you guys.
You bet. And until next time, we'll look forward to unpacking more things that can make our churches healthier and our leadership more effective.